Well, good morning, Ken. That bit of music takes me back because that was Thin Lizzy playing Chinatown 30 years ago when I would have seen them at Newcastle City Hall. But Ken, it's good to speak to you again. This must be, I should think, something like our sixth interview that we've done since the beginning of your trip. I gather since we've last spoke that you've had a number of unexpected problems with visa and passport difficulties on the Chinese border. Would you like to give us an update on this, Ken?
Yes, sorry. Good morning, John. Yes, there have been one or two snags. I successfully made it to the Chinese border on the edge of Kazakhstan to discover that the border had unexpectedly closed for a week or so and wasn't reopening until after my visa had expired for entry into China. Unfortunately, nothing that could be done about that, no other alternative ways in nearby that I could reach in time. So I found myself returning to the delightful city of Almaty, about 50 miles back, to reconsider my next move and come up with plans to get these things sorted.
What did the Chinese border look like? I mean, I can imagine there must be a fair bit of traffic with goods and sort of service items going across the border. Was there a lot of container lorries stacked up waiting to cross the border, or were people turned around? How was the atmosphere there on the border?
Well, ordinarily, I think it's a major international crossing point, and there'd be lots of traffic through there, lorries and so forth. And I think that's what kind of got me a little bit concerned as I approached it, because there were miles of lorries parked up at the side of the road, and virtually no drivers in sight. It was a very sort of eerie scene, and you can't actually get right up to the border. There's this sort of 3-5 mile wide military zone that they've established. It's a very secure sort of area, and really apart from the heavily armed border guards, there was not a lot there. So in a way, I suppose, when they said the border is closed, it all unfortunately dropped into place.
And is this because of the sort of unrest that we've been following a little bit in Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan at all that's made its way into our media to a small degree?
I think actually, in the latter part of the week, there was always going to be a public holiday or whatever the Chinese equivalent is. But it seems that locally they decided to have somewhat larger festivities than just one day and close the border for over a week with absolutely nothing sort of moving. And you know, despite my best efforts to check in advance, the obvious things like closures assured all was well. But I think, you know, although it's an international crossing, it's tucked away in a far distant part of China. Probably doesn't get quite the same spotlight as you would do if you tried to close Beijing Airport for a week. So I think there's a little bit of local decision-making, shall we say, and unfortunately I've caught a cold as a result.
Yeah, it's a great shame. I mean, we'll give a plug to your website later on, but I was looking at your blogs today and you're revealing your idea of an audacious Plan B response. And for followers of your expedition who've not had a chance to see this yet on the internet, can you describe to us what your Plan B entailed exactly?
Well, I've gone back to Almaty, second city of Kazakhstan, about 250 miles back, and that took me about 3 days to get there. Hoping to try and secure a fresh Chinese visa. But they are extremely difficult to get hold of in Central Asia. And essentially, they didn't say no, but they didn't say yes. And the various conditions they wanted me to meet, which I hadn't had to do before, and I have, of course, a Kazakhstan visa ticking away, meant that actually the chances were not favourable, probably would only be for a very limited amount of time, certainly not enough to get across China. And I would only get a definitive answer a few days before my Kazakhstan visa expires. So I had to think very quickly and come up with another plan. And that became Plan B, which in essence is to go to a third country where I would, first of all, be able to be confident of getting a decent, fresh Chinese visa. And that's where I am at the moment in, shall we say, something which is simply a nation of convenience. It ticks all the boxes, gives me what I want. So I jumped on a plane and headed off to this nation of convenience.
Well, it's absolutely fascinating, and I can't wait as the story unfolds on the internet to see which country you're in. So I shall follow that with great, great interest. Just thinking about how this hiccup impacts, do you find yourself very way behind schedule? How have plans been affected by this?
Nothing drastically so. I was always going to have a reasonable amount of time for crossing Asia. So long as I achieve it by the end of the year, then that's perfectly fine. Because if I rush too far ahead, go on to Australia, the next continent, I've really got till next summer to complete that. Otherwise, I'll be out of step for my quite a tight weather window for being in Alaska at the latter part of next summer. There's no advantage in getting there earlier, and certainly not later. So I'm very fortunate that I've got some flexibility.
That's good. And how long is the sort of weather period that you've got for getting into Canada and into the States before the landscape freezes up and so on?
Well, I think I'm going to be fine. I would now be looking to be probably arriving in Hong Kong, shall we say, late September, early October. The weather I expect shouldn't be too dramatic. I might have a few interesting days.
And I guess this is the first hiccup you've had of this scale on the trip. I mean, are there any wider lessons that you've been able to learn from this unexpected event?
I think what it teaches you, I felt very relaxed about it. Once I established the border was genuinely closed, what's the best solution, what's the best way forward, have a plan, and then get on with it. And the first option is quite easy. You just go back to Almaty. You know, that whatever you do, you've got to do that. And they did give me time to think about it, but this is a very big project, pretty complex. There are a lot of areas where things can go awry, lack of communication. My language skills are certainly much scope for improvement. But also, where I've been travelling, the information is not so readily available. You know, you have to look at the best information that you have and accept that sometimes it will be misleading, wrong, things will go awry. You try and build in margins to allow for these things as best you can. But sometimes, you know, these things, I think, are going to catch you out. In a way, I'm actually very pleased that I managed to get halfway across Asia before I had a bit of a stumble. I think people often get caught much earlier than that. So actually, in a sense, I'm quite pleased. And I'm pretty sure that over the next 3 or so years, however diligent you are and careful in checking your head and talking to people as I've been doing, there will be things. You just have to manage it and make the most of it and just be relaxed, remedy it, and then get going again. So, I will actually, ironically, end up with a visa which is much more suited to go flying across China. I do try and look at these things in a positive light.
Yeah, it's quite something to hear you sounding so upbeat about all these problems. I mean, the idea of communication is interesting, and some of the blogs which I've enjoyed most from you, Ken, have when you've been describing some of your very often ad hoc meetings and often spells of hospitality with local people. And since you spent quite a bit of time in Almaty in Kazakhstan before escaping to your secret third country, have you been able to make contact with any local people in Almaty who've been able to help you while you've been not quite tearing your hair out over getting new visas, but thinking about this sort of plan B and the next steps?
I think I've spent about, in total, just over a week in Almaty. All actually same with the local Kazakh family, who've been just brilliant. I called them to say, a bit of a problem, can I come back? And they've been just really brilliant, really made me feel, you know, like a house guest. But then, you know, back out on the road, the hospitality you receive as a solo traveller on a bicycle is sometimes quite astounding. And I'm always bemused by some of the places that I end up. Well, usually when I'm looking for permission to camp, I've spent a night on a bed in a petrol station in the middle of nowhere, probably the only village for 50, 60, 70, 80 miles in either direction. I found a bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. I ended up stopping for chocolate somewhere and ended up spending the night with the deputy mayor of the town and his family. And all these sometimes feel almost sort of bizarre, but you know, I think it just reflects what a hospitable bunch of people that they are there. Mm. You know, genuine hospitality, something I'm extremely grateful for, and I always do my very best to act as a good ambassador for the UK and share what I have. If I have some food, then make a contribution back.
And do you have any idea, Ken, when you will be arriving back in Almaty to collect your bike, Emma, and the rest of your kit to travel on?
I'll be heading off in about a week or so. I'm just waiting to pick up my passport, and I shall head back, recover from the flight, and then, off we go.
And then back on the expedition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Well, Ken, we'll leave it there for now, but before we go, two things. Would you like to give a plug for your website, and secondly, the Outward Bound Trust for us, please?
Yes, people can follow all my antics at www.acrosscontinents.org. You can also find out details there of the charity, the Outward Bound Trust, that works with young people in the UK that I'm seeking to raise funds for. And very shortly, you will also find a short film about my time in the capital of this nation of convenience, which I hope will both intrigue and amuse at the same time.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for that, Ken. I think we're about to play out with a bit more of Thin Lizzy Chinatown. So till we speak again, Ken, lots of love from everybody at Ten Radio, and look forward to speaking to you soon. Many thanks. Bye-bye, Ken.
Thanks, John, and thanks, Benson.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.